Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Greg Hahn, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. Welcome to the Monday podcast. Couple things to start out with. This is a historic time, and it's not only in the capital markets and what's going on in the economy, but in society. So we always go back 50 years, right? We've been talking about that for the last year, what happened 50 years ago, and it usually relates to something that the Beatles have done. But, you know, you go back to 1968, when the summer of 68, when there were protests around the country, and they led into the Democratic convention. And it was really, when we look back, that was a seminal time in history. And I think that to some extent, we're living this again today. And it's important for younger people from a generational standpoint to understand there's a link to that. I was talking to my daughter about that exact issue. And my wife goes, "You were seven. How would you know what was going on in 1968? Well, I read a lot. But in 50 years ago, we kind of missed this because of the coronavirus, but in April of 1970, the Beatles did break up, and Paul McCartney released his first album, which was important, Charlie, because he played all the instruments on that album.
I actually did know that.
And that's where Maybe I'm Amazed came from. All right, so let me start out here, though. Let's get on to the important stuff. The economy, we had some good news last week on two fronts. One, the labor market, and then secondly, on the manufacturing side. So first, on the labor side, we saw the unemployment rate dropped from 14.7 down to 13.3. Now, remember, just in February, we were talking about how labor at 3.5%, the unemployment rate was compared 50 years ago to the last time that we saw unemployment this low. And literally in the course of one quarter, we went from one of the best labor markets to the worst labor market ever recorded in history as this coronavirus just impacted the economy. So we expect a slow recovery in the labor market as companies bring labor back. I mean, initially it's going to show as a rapid momentum, but it's not going to hit that 3.5%. I think some of these jobs are not coming back and some are going to work remote. We'll talk about that at a separate time. The second issue I want to bring up is the manufacturing issue. The ISM numbers came out last week, and we did see improvement on the non-manufacturing activity, went from 41.8 up to 45.4. Anything below 50, again, is considered a contraction, but that's a nice improvement. So we expect to see some improvement as the economy starts to pick up over time. So let me stop there. And we want to talk today about the equity market. We got five stocks that can weather this recovery, we think, pretty well. We're going to talk about the oil, the energy market, and the agreement between OPEC with OPEC Russia and what that did to the energy market. And then the credit market, fascinating stories that are taking place in the credit market. So we got a lot to cover. I'm going to turn it over to Freddie to kick us off on equities.
Thanks, Greg. So we have had quite a rally in equities since the lows of the crash on March 23rd. The S&P is up 39%. So for the year right now, the S&P is actually just down 1%. The Dow is down 5% year to date, and the Nasdaq is actually up 9% year to date, and we're just off of all-time highs there. So early on, you had tech, we talked about lead the market with its high concentration. It was able to keep the market afloat. So what we're seeing now over the last month or so is sector rotation, basically. So we've had quite a shift in sector performance. Tech is obviously still leading, but now you have consumer discretionary up 6.5% year to date. Just looking at the one-month numbers, industrials, financials, energy, materials, and consumer discretionary are all up 15 to 20%. So when you have just every sector hitting on all cylinders like that, it's really hard to stop a market rally.
So S&P 500 year to date is down 1%.
Yeah.
After everything we've gone through. Absolutely remarkable. So what does that say about valuations right now?
Well, we are a bit overvalued. I'd say S&P is at 21 times earnings right now, which is well above its five-year average. But like I said, when the rally's on like this and every sector's performing, it's going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, I want to talk about it because a lot of companies borrowed to basically stay afloat. So we're seeing leverage pick up. We're seeing these balance sheets get really stressed. So that's a separate topic we want to get into. But talk about the stocks that can weather this recovery. How do you play the recovery?
So kind of what we're going through is, Freddie hit on it, a lot of sectors have been up. The top five stocks, top 10 stocks in the S&P 500 have obviously led the way. So we dug into, you know, what hasn't worked so far this year and are there opportunities still there? There were a lot of obvious no's that they're down for a reason and it's probably going to stay down. Royal Caribbean, maybe, as an example. But we found five names that we thought, you know, had for good cause underperformed, but we also think on the upside that as we see better economic data, will accelerate into this rally. So to start, Ford, a really tough name. It's in a tough sector. And I'll start with the caveat that we like this name for a tactical investment. Overall, we think that the company's culture and just the overall business model will be a challenge long term. But the stock is down, was down 50% at its lows, but it's still down 20% year to date. So what we saw was, you know, the annual run rate of auto sales has been pretty consistent over the last 5 years at 16 million, give or take half a million. But we saw a drop in the annualized rate to 8.5 million back in April. Now that has begun to accelerate back up, and we think that's going to continue as people who still needed a car and just put off that purchase because they didn't want to go to a dealership where they were closed, we think that'll pick back up. So when we're looking at earnings, it's trading at 14 times forward earnings. And while 2020 will be a tough year, we'll have negative earnings. In 2021, we're seeing 50 cents a share for Ford, which should get it back to good profitability as margins continue to expand and revenue picks back up. Secondly, we're looking at AT&T. AT&T is down 16% this year still with the overall S&P outperformance. So the big thing here is the fact that obviously movie theaters are closed. So the halt in any production from Warner Media has been a big hit. You match that with increased churn because people are obviously being furloughed, laid off, losing their job, and then maybe they can't make their cell phone payment. They're missing those or outright canceling, maybe because they're working at home and maybe both people in the household don't need a cell phone during that time when cash is strapped. So that has led to the underperformance. And right now it's trading at only 10 times earnings. And we're looking at 335 in earnings for 2021. And we really like this for three main reasons. First, you know, content is king, and AT&T with their purchase of Time Warner has really built up that catalog. They've got Turner, they've got Warner Studios, they've got HBO. So really a robust catalog. And then secondly, they are heavily investing in 5G, and it's debatable, you know, what 5G is really going to produce. But at the end of the day, they have the second largest capacity and spectrum, low band spectrum, so that they can roll out 5G, which we think will increase sales, increase data usage, all positive things for AT&T. And then lastly, not to overlook the 6.5% dividend that AT&T currently pays. That is sustained by the $25 billion in free cash flow. And they reaffirmed their dividend 2 weeks ago. So that's a fairly safe dividend right now that we think helps mitigate any of the price volatility. So Freddie, what do you got?
So our third pick is Southwest. Southwest has a very strong balance sheet, and it is an industry leader that is currently trading at quite a discount. It's a very consistent company in terms of generating profits. Last 10 years, revenue has grown by 8% compounded annually. They generate substantial free cash flow, which has been positive 9 out of the last 10 years. For the trailing 12 months, they generated $2.1 billion in free cash flow. Of the four largest airlines, Southwest has the highest return on invested capital at 12%. There's obviously a short-term impact on air travel demand, but as air travel gradually returns, it looks like domestic travel will be the first to return, as a lot of international borders are still closed. So Southwest gets the majority of its revenue from domestic flights and will be the first airline to start running up again. So it has the best downside protection of any airline. With ample liquidity, highest market share, and the most profitability, and with its discount, stocks trading down 30% year to date, we think this is a good pick for a recovery.
That U.S. Bancorp. So this is a bank that we've really liked for a long time. Well managed, fifth largest U.S. bank, well capitalized. Tier one ratio is above 11%, but it's down 28%. And the biggest reason is there two of their big segments are consumer mortgages, which have obviously taken hits as people have stopped buying homes in March. And then secondly, 15% of their revenue is generated from wealth management. So you live by the sword, you die by it. And when the S&P 500 is down over 30% and global equities are down 40%, it obviously shrinks the amount of capital you're managing. So that hurt U.S. Bancorp, which is one of the worst performing banks here today, down 28%. But last week we saw mortgage applications tick up. The MBA mortgage index is back at 2019 levels. So we think mortgages are back. People are obviously back to buying homes now that more and more things are open. And actually, I think what we saw is that virtual tours actually worked. And so we are seeing a flow through of home purchases that were better than expected as things were closed down. And then obviously, as we keep talking about, equity markets have rallied, so that should help that wealth management division. U.S. Bancorp still paid a 4% dividend, which is pretty safe. That was reaffirmed 2 weeks ago as well. So that kind of helps mitigate that price volatility that I was talking about with AT&T. And then lastly, Tyson. A really, really exciting story is Tyson. Everybody loves chicken, but it is down 28% this year. And really what it came down to was there was a shrinking demand from food service companies, obviously with restaurants doing a lot less business. That part of the business shrank. And then on top of that, they had to terminate some hog farms that were contaminated with the coronavirus. So we see those as short-term effects. And as the consumer continues to eat despite a virus, we think that this stock is poised for a return as well. It's trading at 14.5 times earnings, and we're modeling $4.5 per earnings per share, in 2020. So solid revenue, solid earnings out of Tyson. We think that helps drive the stock back up.
Thank you, guys. So this list, which is Ford, AT&T, Southwest, U.S. Bank, and Tyson Foods, is different from the five stocks that would weather the coronavirus storm. This is really five stocks on how to play the recovery. These are stocks that got beaten up. And so it's different from the other list that we've been tracking as well for our listeners. Hey, let's switch. I want to hit a couple things before our time runs out. So, Charlie, can you talk about what's going on with OPEC and Russia and what's happened to oil this past week?
Yeah, so for high-yield investors, really the best news of the week was the OPEC Plus meeting. So they decided to continue on their their supply cuts that would run through July. And this has been quite a boon for what we've seen crude oil prices. We saw last week WTI crude oil was pushing $40 a barrel. We haven't reached that yet. I think this morning we're opening like 39.5. But so with that and an increased bullish tone, we've seen energy companies really, really their debt skyrocket and positive price performance. So we saw midstream companies in high yield tighten 82, independent companies tighten over 140, oil field services tighten almost 300 basis points. And to give a specific example, Continental Resources, 2044 dated debt
is opening this morning at $78.50 on the bid, which translates to a plus 505 to the 30-year in spread. This is in stark contrast to the lows that were under 40 cents on the dollar and spread in excess of 1,200 to the 30-year in late March. So energy's rolling. Barring a really early second wave of the coronavirus, I would expect energy to continue to be the best performer in high yield, especially as we're seeing price recovery in crude oil.
Thanks, Charlie. And then anything on models or anything else on equity and earnings, Freddie?
I know the first quarter earnings have just ended, down 12.6% year over year. Yeah, revenue fell 1.4%. You have tech and healthcare as the outperformers.
But. Okay. On the credit side, Adam. Yeah, so I think you don't want to overlook rates last week. Tremendous move. 10-year went from 65 bips to 90 bips in 1 week.
Yeah,
curve steepened 25 basis points. So the bond market's kind of lagged the equity markets. But last week, obviously, bond market was saying, yeah, this economic recovery is real. So credit markets tightened tremendously as well, over 25 basis points on the index level, but certain names tightened a lot more. Delta, 10-year Delta was up 10 points in price and tightened by 140 basis points. And Ford similarly was tighter by 130 basis points. So overall, we're seeing some of those, what they call fallen angels, as the Fed is buying high yield and investment grade ETFs is helping prop that up. And you're seeing a return to risk on.
So the playbook is different today than it was 30, 50 years ago. So this is the argument about what's going on with democracy and capitalism. But the answer that developed country central banks have during a downturn or recession is to just pour money into the system. Money isn't, it's not the way that it used to be by increasing the money supply per se. It's basically buying bonds in the open market onto the balance sheet of the central bank in order to lower interest rates. And in this version of this buying programs helped to subsidize corporate America, because not only are they buying treasury securities, which lower government interest rates, they're buying through ETFs credit, right? So and then potentially even CMBS and CLOs, which then helps to lower borrowing costs or support lowering borrowing costs and credit spreads. Now, my understanding is the Fed has not, I haven't looked at the data this past week, the Fed has not bought directly bonds yet.
Not yet.
It's just been through ETFs. Now, Europe, I want to close on this thought, though, you guys. This is really important from what's going on in Europe. Europe's central bank is dramatically different from the Federal Reserve because it operates more as a co-op. We are operating as a federal government of republic. And so the European Central Bank last week announced a 1.35 trillion euro program in a bond purchase program. And they are still trying to get through this issue of euro denominated debt, which would be the first offering of euro debt, which is similar, would obviously be similar to the US Treasury debt that we have. The challenge there, though, is that they don't have a common fiscal arrangement amongst the countries. They have a common monetary arrangement. So the taxing authority and how that money gets spent goes through the European Union, and it's a very, very political. So they have challenges in front of them, and then how they end up paying for this program is also different from the United States. So although the headline looks great, and the markets responded well to it, I think the actual execution in the coming months is going to be challenging for Europe, and it's one to watch because I think it's going to really highlight, especially as it relates to Italy, the economic recovery over in that area. So with that, I'm going to close this down. You guys have a great week, and we will talk to you during the week. Thanks.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.